How's your back feeling?
I'm doing better.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, great. It's a great Monday. It's always a great Monday after a win. It's great to start off the 18 season with a W. Kids worked hard for it. Some just good things about the game. You know, I think the first thing is in three seasons here, we have not been able to really get our backups and some reserves in the football game. We had 55 players on the offense and defense, forget special teams, get involved in that game. So I think anytime you get your backup quarterback in the game and get him a throw, get him some handoffs, get him to check some things and just find out where he is so he's not getting in, you know, some other time when it's a little bit more risky. So I think, you know, just the opportunity for those two kids getting the game and everybody to get coached up. You know, you walk in this meeting last night and guys are happy because, hey, I got three reps. This is what I did. And coaches get to find out, hey, where they are fundamentally. And I think it comes down to the attention to detail that you either play with or you don't. And, you know, you earn reps. And when you get a chance to get three reps, five reps, seven reps, whatever it is rep-wise, you know, you're either going to get more or you're going to get less based on what we saw in those really game reps. Because those are, I mean, we can take scrimmages. You can throw those out the door. Now it's all about game reps and what you do when the lights go on. So, you know, we got to, you know, eliminate a lot of unforced things that, you know, just drive you crazy. You know, the fourth and one where we jump off sides and you know, and really have a stop, but give it to them. That stuff can't happen this weekend, obviously. You know, we got a, you know, first and goal at the 5-yard line. You jump off sides, put yourself back, and now it's first and goal from the 9. I mean, those things like that will get you beat. You know, we had another third and one late in the game where we jump off sides offensively and put ourselves back to a third medium as opposed to a third and short. Those are all little things that I think we obviously got to clean up. You know, we had we didn't have a delay game. I used a timeout because we did a good job for the most part of saving our timeouts. But we're going to need all three of those, you know, near the end of each half. You hope you can save them for those times and not have to waste them on a personnel issue where you got 10 guys on the field. And obviously those turnovers that we had offensively, and maybe the opportunity to get more on defense that we didn't take advantage of are going to be critical in big games that we have this weekend. And obviously it's Penn State week and it's obviously, you know, game two. It's a big game because it is a rivalry game and they get to come to Heinz Field and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think our kids will be excited. I think the city of Pittsburgh will be excited. They obviously got a great football team. You know, you guys can say what you want. They're talented. They got great players, and they got a great program. So we're looking forward to having them come to Heinz Field again. Questions?
Obviously, you guys were fired up for this game last year. You fired up for it 2 years ago the first time. But does that ratchet up a little more, just given what happened last season, week two, obviously?
You know, I hope not. I think you just get, you know, you want to teach your kids to get revved up for every game, and obviously, you know, it's sometimes harder to get up for Albany. Okay, it'll be easier to get revved up, but you better play with a little anger, I guess, for every game. But we'll be cranked up, but you want to bottle that. You want to be cranked up for every game, but hopefully it's just a few degrees, not like, you know, we were 70% last week, and now all of a sudden we're going to be 100% cranked up. I mean, you hope it's, hey, we are 93% cranked up, and maybe we'll be at 100 or 98, whatever. But, you know, it's a game of emotion, and you got to play with it.
Is there a point that when you became head coach a few years ago that you realized the intensity of this rivalry and that how many people around here and the fan base in particular really doesn't like that team?
Well, you know, I don't know about your like, but you know, I knew a long time ago it wasn't something I had to figure to be the head coach to figure out what a rivalry game is. I mean, I grew up with this game back in the day. I lived in Youngstown, Ohio, and you know, you grew up with this, you know, this Pitt-Penn State rivalry game, period. I mean, that's why it's been played, you know, 99 times or whatever, going on 99. So, you know, it's been a rivalry for a long time. And rivalries are rivalry. Everybody's got one. You know, who is it against? Maybe there's two or three of them in your season, but, you know, that's what it is. You know, it's an in-state rivalry game. I mean, it's important in the states, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, we've said this all the time on, you know, in these rivalry games, you know, you either walk the streets or you're going to walk the alleys after the game. You know, you're going to sneak out of Heinz Field and walk down where there's nobody, you don't have to see anybody, or are you going to walk out with your chest up and your chin up and walk right down the middle of everybody and say, hey, here we are, let's go. So to me, that's what it means a lot, you know.
Did you notice a difference in perception the way people approach the program after you won 2 years ago?
No. I mean, I don't notice anything. You know, you may.
I mean, recruiting-wise or, you know.
Not really, no.
And knowing this might be the last time you get them here for, who knows, the next time Penn State's going to come here, is that anything you throw out there to increase the fire?
Not really, because it's not going to change the way we play. I mean, I don't think our guys are, you know, anybody sitting in this front row goes, it's my last time, period. The guys maybe in the second and third row say, I get two more times. Some of those guys back there, they don't even know, you know, they have no clue. So it's not going to change the way we play. It's you know, September 8th, and it's time to go.
You tell guys that this is a game where you can really sort of leave a legacy and fit. I mean, you make a big play against Penn State, you probably get remembered a little more than big play against Albany.
No doubt about it. I mean, I think anytime you make a big play, I mean, you know, you look at Kenny Pickett, that touchdown run in the pylon, you drive up the street here. What is it, Bates? And you see that pylon. I didn't know what the heck it was. I think I was here all August, so I didn't really even drive home. So I kind of drove by one day. Well, what the heck is that? And then next time, I don't know who put that up, but so that's, you know, when you put your hand and that ball, you know, on a billboard, it's, you know, it makes an impression. So if it's a big game, you know, those plays are going to stand out for sure. You mean as far as personnel goes? No question. Yeah, we're going to see. You know, Penn State's going to have, you know, a lot of new things for us. We may have some new things for them. Who knows? And ultimately, people are going to do what they do best. Personnel-wise, you know, Trace McSorley's different than Testaverde. So, I mean, you got a Heisman Trophy candidate coming here, maybe the front runner for it. Because he can throw it, he can run it, he can make plays. He's an emotional leader. He's the leader. You got a lot of weapons, whether it's Juwan Johnson out there, who's, you know, looks like he's 6'9", and then K.J. Hammer, who we recruited out of high school. I know how explosive that guy is in the slot at jersey number one. I mean, they got players everywhere. You got Miles Sanders in the backfield. You got Sharif Miller, you know, an explosive end who, you know, has got a bunch of sacks and a bunch of TFLs that makes plays. With Givens, I'm sure will play inside. He's probably a little bit banged up coming in. They said, let's save him. They got explosive players really all over the field, and you know, there'll be different players, that's for sure. Are we going to see different schemes? Probably not. Just going to be faster, bigger, stronger guys running some of the same schemes, because that's what college football is. A lot of the runs, inside zone, RPOs. We're just going to see better people running it. So, you know, we've got to be better at it. And I think that's the great thing about the openers. You know, I'm glad that Albany didn't come out like they did last year and line up in two tight ends, and run all their, you know, their two tight end, what we call silver personnel. Glad they didn't do that, because it would not have gave us an opportunity to say, okay, what are you doing wrong here? And let me tell you what, the difference between just a slot guy, KJ Hamler, and some of those other guys, it's not like it's like, oh my God, you know, this guy's coming in here. I mean, whether we're covering rah-rah practice or we're covering Shockey or French, there's a lot of similarities. It's not like, you know, we have the Mean Joe Green and the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 1976 coming in here.
What do you feel McSorley's
biggest strength is? McSorley? Well, I mean, he's got a bunch of them. He wouldn't be a Heisman. I mean, he's got a great arm. He makes good decisions. He loves to run. So, I mean, he's a football player. I mean, that's his greatest strength. He plays the game with passion. I mean, what else can you say about the guys, he's got it all. He'll play in the NFL. He's a leader too. I'm sure those guys are, you know, following around campus right now. He's got it all. Tough guy to stop.
Do you have to wear body armor if you had to tell Alex Bookser he couldn't play in his last game against Penn State?
You know, it won't come down to body armor. It'll come down to how he feels and how the trainers feel, really, just to find out. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, you talk about just a young guy, redshirt freshman, going out there and doing what he did. You know, I don't care who it is. You know, he made some mistakes. But, you know, he got those out of the way, and he's going to be a better football player for it. It's just great. I mean, that's some of the most exciting things as a head coach. You lined up with that guy in there, and we had faith that he could do it, and he did it, and he made some mistakes. But think about how much more improvement that guy's going to make, you know, over maybe, Stefano, who's played, you know, going in his fifth year and played how many games at left tackle. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the degree of improvement that we're going to see out of Gabe compared to someone that started, Morrissey, that's, you know, started for 2 years now. I mean, there's a difference there. So he'll make big improvements, and I was excited for him. Yeah, I mean, it's all matchups, and it's a different deal. I don't feel any more confident than I would normally feel going into that game. Frenchie did a lot of that play all by himself. I can't tell you the blocking and the setup was exactly the way we want it to be. So I give, Maurice a lot of credit for what he did on that play. Give McElone, McElone missed his first block, but, was well coached, turned around and earned his scholarship by running up there and blocking the kicker. And did maybe messed up the first part of it, but really finished it off and popped that thing open. I don't feel any better about it. We got to punt twice, so how much better can you feel about that? We didn't get to get much work there, unfortunately, with Kirk. And then Kessman was unbelievable kicking in the end zone. I mean, he did a great job with touchbacks. So we don't know how our kickoff cover is yet until someone can really return it on us. Yeah, not really. So, just one of those times.
Did anybody step away from the posse? Why does he really say anything? Hey, this guy looks like he's going to really help us.
The posse. The thing is, that depth chart may be taking some, ups and downs in there. But, when you look at Taysier Mack, I mean, the catch he had, he did a nice job. Trey Tipton had a nice job, nice game. Obviously, Ra-Ra did. Maurice French did some great things. Dontavious Butler, did not get a catch, but did some nice things. And again, got his first game under his belt. And then Shockey, he went out there and he was just like he was a third-year junior. He didn't, you kind of wonder if they're going to have, deer in the headlight look, but he didn't have that look at all. He was the same as he is on practice day, so you kind of find out who those gamers are. So, again, for a lot of the young guys, that went out there on the field that day, that hadn't played much, whether it's an offensive line that hadn't had many, they're older guys, but they haven't played a lot, besides really Jimmy and maybe Herndon, but he played more on defense than he did. He took more snaps on offense in one game than he took, all year on offense, last year. So I believe that's the case. You know what? I mean, not really. I mean, I think it's about the same. I mean, you got different weapons maybe that they don't have in Barkley, but Miles Sanders, don't sleep on that guy. That guy's a great football player. He's gotten bigger, stronger in the offseason. He's catching the ball out of the backfield. He got some, sometimes when you watch a guy for so long and you back him up that you start to look like him, he shows some, he shows some flashes on tape that you're like, oh, gosh, where's this guy going to be another year? Is he going to be another Barkley? I mean, that's what he looks like right now. He's made some major improvements since the first time he took a carry there 2 years ago or took a kickoff return. I mean, it's just a different Miles Sanders, which is called development. That's what, it's what we do as coaches. He's a good player, too. So, and they got some other ones, too. No, I don't think, I just think they know they're going to find a way to get it done. So it doesn't matter if you win close or win by 50. They're going to make their improvements. We're going to make our improvements, and we get to line up at 8:14 p.m. and get after it. I don't think that really affects anything. I mean, they got the win. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how you did it. I just think maybe it gets some more confidence that, hey, they'll find a way in the end to get it done. It's always nice to be in overtime. So close games are great because you find out what your team is made of. So I think they're really better for getting in a tight game and not, you know, and coming out on the right end of it. I think that helps you.
Do you prefer an FCS team as an opener rather than some of the games we've seen on TV this weekend?
Well, I don't know what games you've seen on TV this weekend. I didn't get to see any of them. But, I mean, there's a mix of them. I think you'll start to see a little bit more of the maybe ACC versus ACC. I don't care which, you really don't care. I mean, there's going to be times we're going to open up with somebody, that's got a bigger name than an Albany in the future. So, I don't know if it really matters because your kids are going to, get ready for whoever you're playing. It really doesn't matter. Sometimes we don't dictate who we open up with. So. Just okay. I mean, a lot of little details we got to clean up, and again, I think anytime you don't play well, and that's what I consider. And again, we stopped the run, and we could have, maybe destroyed the run if we had tackled a little bit better. We were in position, our fits were darn good. We just got to clean up the tackling, which is opener stuff. Usually, I mean, it's also, sometimes I think guys got their eyes closed, And again, put it this way, we live tackled maybe 6 times out of 24 opportunities. So that's like your first live chance. And, that's our first time in an entire, since the Miami game that we've tackled in Heinz Field. And I think that's a different deal, too. So at least we got one practice under our belt, if you want to call it that. I don't think they were sharp as they need to be, but you can blame that on, the players all you want. But it goes right back to us as coaches of just getting them in better position to make plays. So. We hope this weekend we'll be in better position to make plays with fundamentals. And again, it's first time out there, we went out there probably without, if you guys projected it, without 3 of our starting DBs. I don't know if we'll have any of them back this week, but, we went out there without 3 of them. I mean, Dane Jackson wasn't out there. Jason Pinnock wasn't out there. And Phil Campbell weren't out there. But those are 3 guys that I think all started, against Miami and Virginia Tech both. And, 3 of those, starters went out there. And Devontae, he's in Philadelphia having fun intercepting balls. So, we didn't have all 4 of them. I think it was good experience for those guys that got reps.
Harris Ford was out there. What do you think of his debut after watching the film? And how much do you think he can help?
He's still a puppy. I mean, he doesn't like to be called a puppy, but he did some really good things. And, he got out there. I think Paris is going to be a great player. He got his opportunity. We're now not afraid to put him out there because we know what we got. But he's still got a cleanup technique just like the other guys. So he's not far off. And Paris, Paris probably had limited coaching, too, in the last week and a half, just as far as just practicing. So I think that also, we didn't know if he'd be available or not as well, but he was available, which is a plus because we got that under his belt. We kind of know where he is. And that's the great thing about openers and getting, 55 or whatever I said, 58 guys out there, getting them reps. So now we find out where they are and who do you go, put them in there. Or some guys you go, man, we can't put him in right now. He needs a lot more work. I ain't putting that guy in till this improves. And so you make those kind of decisions as far as who's going in there. And Paris is a guy that you go, he's going to fight you out there. He's going to be fine. He's just, I'm sure he was all hyped up and his emotions and all that. But, we'll get that all under control. But it's a lot we can work with number 12. No, not really. I mean, I think he could end up playing both. He might fit better as a safety, but mentally right now, I think it's just a little bit less for him, to get him out on the field. There's just a lot of stuff to go on back there. I mean, you look at, even as smart and as Dennis Briggs is, there's times that he makes some little mistakes back there that'll hurt us just as far as what we, what we do back there, the calls that, that we're in conjunction with the backer in the corner that sometimes he doesn't make the right call either. And that's something we can put our kids in better position. But there's a lot of stuff that safety not only physically has to do, but athletically. We'll wean him into that. But I think eventually that guy's going to be a heck of a safety for us.
How did Kenny do decision-making-wise?
Really good. I told you he could be a lot better, and he probably can. Everybody can get better, but that one, bubble he threw there, there's a guy up in his face. I didn't sit in his pocket that he sat in, but he probably had one bad throw, and he played pretty good. As far as jumping up in the air, probably the worst decision he made. you know. Hopefully we get that corralled.
Is toughness one of the things that sets him apart maybe from other quarterbacks you've had?
I mean, he's definitely tough, and he's definitely, you know, has an edge to him. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, take anybody else's toughness away, but he's tough like other good quarterbacks. Say that again.
With your kickoff being so late, and it's such a big game for these kids, do you have to, like, I don't know, do you give them instructions on what they're supposed to do before they get here on Saturday? I mean, you kind of...
Before they get here?
Yeah.
We'll have them Friday night. We'll have them all day. So, you know, we got a plan for what we do. But, yeah, there's, you know, it's detailed out what we'll do and how we'll do it all day Saturday as well as, you know, obviously Friday night. You know, is there a fear? I mean, you know, hopefully we don't get them keyed up too early. You know, they're going to be excited, but I don't think anybody gets tired from being excited early. It's just, you know, almost, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure it's bad on the kids. You know, it's nerve wracking sitting around a hotel all day waiting, but they got to do the same thing. So I don't know if there's anything you can do about that besides, you know, try to keep their mind off it. I'm sure they'll be on their phones and tweeting and snapping and playing Fortnite and all that other baloney, shooting people and on video games. I don't get it, but.
Anything fine? Have you made a decision on availability this week? You players and the coach?
Availability. I'm going to loosen it up just that, like that much, but we'll have two players available tomorrow. You know, we'll give you two players, and other than that, we're going to keep it quiet and play football and let our guys focus on what is important. This game is important to the city of Pittsburgh. We want to keep the importance on what it is. It's a, you know, anybody wants to argue and say this is no different than any other week? Okay, it is. Okay, that's a fact. And if you want to ignore that, then you can ignore it. But it's a big game.
Okay, Jerry, thank you for the last question. Thank you all for being here on Labor Day. Much appreciation.